This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Now, here's Frank Morano.
Show of the week, and this hour is earmarked for you, whereas the other 19 hours of the broadcast week, I control all that you hear. This hour is totally dependent upon you. If it's lame, it's on you. If it's exciting, you get the credit. That's because this hour is all about...
The Other Side of Midnight proudly presents Ask Frank Anything.
Whatever you have questions about, now is the time to ask. If you need advice about something, now's the time to call in and ask. If you have a question about my personal history, if there's a subject that I've mentioned on the radio that you feel needs a little bit more explanation or analysis, now's the time to ask. If you want to know a hypothetical scenario, what I would do, you're welcome to ask. If you have questions about the radio business, my opinions about everything, you're welcome to use this hour to ask anything in the world, from Atlantic City to zebras and everything in between. 800-848-9222. That's 800-848-9222. Let me begin with Norman in Brooklyn. Hello, Norman.
Hi, Frank. I was just wondering if I'm looking here in a New York Post advertisement that Captain Kirk, William Shatner, is going to be going on a 10-day trip on a ship to the Antarctica. And I was just wondering, I'm seeing the cheapest room available is $35,500. I was just wondering, are you going to be, that sounds like a dream trip for you, Frank.
It does.
Are you going to take part in it?
I would, you know, I hope to. You know, the only thing stopping me from being on that excursion is $35,000. So I'm going to be talking about this a little bit later. In these daily Instagram videos that I've been doing, I talked about that yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously I would love to do it. The problem is the $35,000. So I brought this up in the year before, and I mentioned this to a group of friends that I get together with every Friday, and I said, well, maybe I'll do a GoFundMe to try to raise the $35,000, and around the table, within minutes, my friend, one friend, I don't want to mention his name because he's kind of an important person, he said, oh, I'll throw in $10. Then another friend said, oh, I'll throw in $10. Within 4 minutes, there was already $100 pledged. So I only have to figure out a way to raise the other $34,900. So I haven't figured out how I'm going to pay for it, but I would certainly like to go. Sounds like the trip of a lifetime. 800-848-9222. Rocco is in Saratoga. What's your question, Rocco?
Yes, Frank, just before I get to the question real quick, I think it's very disrespectful that those three bozo former presidents did not pay their due respects to a fallen officer of the law. It was more important to raise money than it was to pay respect.
All right, Rocco, what's your question, Rocco?
Okay, Frank, the question is, what's the most amount of money you've ever spent on an item of clothing?
You know,
the most you've ever spent.
It was probably 17 years ago. Maybe, yeah, it was about 17 years ago. Probably about $1,400, maybe $1,400 on a very nice custom made suit that I still have, that I still wear, and I think it was well worth it.
Hey Frank, that's what they're gonna bury you in then, right?
Probably. Thanks, Rocco. I got a couple of shirts at the same time as well, and I don't remember if that $1,300 or $1,400 included the shirts. I don't think it did. I think that might have just been the cost of the suit. But I don't remember if that's the exact amount, but that's the ballpark. It was definitely over $1,000, and it was this suit that I purchased 17 years ago. That was it. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Sean is in St. Louis. Hey there, Sean.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going.
It's going. Yeah. Well, that's best as it can be, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Anyway, so I got a question for you. I've been dating this girl for about 5 months now, and she's in the Air Force. You know, a little clap for her, I guess. But
sure.
I only get to see this girl once a week, and she's going to move in about a year. I really like her. She's nice, but I really only get to see her once a week. And, you know, things have been a little bit rocky. I don't know if I should stay with her or not. I was going to ask your advice.
Well, do you and she know where she's going to be moving?
We do. We do.
How close is that to where you are?
Pretty darn far, man.
Where are you in terms of your life at this point? Are you at the point where you think you'll be settling down and looking to get married soon? Or you are?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I could definitely see that like in the near future, probably in a year or two. But, I mean, there are some things too that I have to really consider. Like I talked to her about how I want a family. She says she doesn't want a family, you know, and I don't know. I mean, she tells me all the time, funny enough, she says, you know, I'm too selfish to have kids. So maybe.
Wait,
maybe
she says that of you or herself?
She says that of herself. She says she's too selfish to have kids.
And what line of work are you in? You don't have to get specific, but just give me an idea.
I'm an electrician.
Electrician. So you're, and you wouldn't be looking to move under normal circumstances. You're happy in St. Louis.
I'm very happy in St. Louis, yes.
You know, look, obviously, the decision to stay in a relationship is very difficult to make when, you know, I'm not the one in the relationship. And you alluded to some other issues. The two things that I see as being problematic and are, one, you guys are in different places in terms of whether you want children or not, because I know so many couples that start an engagement, a relationship, or even a marriage, and they're in different places, and they're of the opinion they're going to be able to convince their partner to over to their side. And sometimes they are, but more often than not, it doesn't work out well. And the other thing is, I really do think it's problematic. I think it's problematic not just because of the, that it's looming over your relationship like a sword of Damocles. I think it's problematic because let's say you move with her. I think whether consciously or unconsciously, it's going to lead to all sorts of resentment. If things in this new place, in this new city, aren't exactly working out for you, then I think you're going to take it out on the relationship. If you don't move with her and you try to still stay together, I think long-distance relationships, I think they're incredibly challenging. I've never really been in one that has worked, and I've known a couple of people that have made it work successfully. I think it's really rare. What I would do in your case, and I'm not telling you to do it, I would say follow your gut and your heart, but, you know, don't stop listening to your brain. If I were in your case, I would have as good a time as I can with her in the next year, but make clear to her and communicate very honestly and openly that you're not going to move, and if she's going to make this move, you don't see this relationship continuing beyond that point. And if she decides she wants to pull the plug now, then, you know, maybe it's an opportunity for both of you to, I don't know, look for something else. So I don't think the long-term prospects for this relationship are good, but until she moves, I don't know. Personally, I wouldn't see a problem with staying in the relationship as long as both of you were willing to do that.
Sure. Yeah. And, you know, just like you said, long distance isn't the best idea. Sure, it works for some people, but you know what they say? I mean, long distance is okay as long as the four of you are all happy, you know. So
that's a good one, Sean. I have not heard that one. That's very funny. Hey, Sean, good luck. Email me. Let me know how it works out for you. And that's a tough spot. I don't envy you.
Well, I appreciate it. You have a good one.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it. 800-848-9222. Very tough. You know, I've had on my list for a while the issue of long distance relationships. And I think it's very, very difficult. Very difficult. 800-848-9222. That's 800-848-9222. Neil, what's on your mind, Neil?
Hey, Frank. So you finally make it to Celebrity Wheel of Fortune. and the puzzle is a thing. So you're spinning the wheel, you're hitting that $3,500 mark, and man, you're going crazy. You got $18,000, and you look at the puzzle, and it's blood-sucking mosquitoes. Now, they're very fussy about the way you pronounce the thing. If you pronounce it wrong, you don't get anything. Do you say blood-sucking mosquitoes and stay in character, or would you say blood-sucking mosquitoes so
Neil,
your charity
Neil,
gets
Neil, it's not staying in character because the Q-U-I word, it's qua. You wouldn't say quick. You wouldn't say kick when you really mean quick. You wouldn't say keen when you really mean queen. I'm pronouncing mosquito correctly just because most of the rest of the world or most of the rest of the continent pronounces it incorrectly. That doesn't make the Q-U as a W sound or K-W sound. That doesn't obliterate the rule. So I have to go with the rule. I would pronounce it the way I pronounce it, mosquito. Thank you, Neil. 800-84. And honestly, I wouldn't go on Wheel of Fortune. It's not at all my favorite game show, not by a country mile. 800-848-9222. Liz is in Florida. Hi, Liz.
Hi, Frank. How you doing?
I'm doing just great. Thank you.
Everybody's asking me that question. All right, here's my question. If you got a chance to interview God, what would that interview look like?
Ooh, it was a great question. So I guess what I would, you know, look, obviously there are some very basic questions that I think everybody has that, you know, that I would ask. But beyond the kind of the basics about the history of humanity and, the why we exist and that kind of thing, what I would be curious about are three things. There's three things that come to mind. One, I'd love to know a moment where he or she or they or it, where God was genuinely in awe while observing the universe. And I would ask God to share with me a moment that he really experienced a moment of awe or wonder while observing the universe. You know, I'd also ask, like, who knows how many of the stories in the Old Testament are true, but the God that was hanging around in the Old Testament, a very different guy than the one that was hanging around in the New Testament, and very different from the God that Eric Adams and Mike Johnson are speaking to on a regular basis today. So I've often wondered if God has matured a little bit, if God has grown up a little bit, if God has learned some lessons about observing humans and seeing how they've behaved and how that might have changed his behavior over the millennia. So I would ask him what the most profound lesson that he or she has learned from observing the evolution of consciousness throughout the ages. And, you know, obviously I'm a sucker for anything humor related. I would ask him for what he thinks are the greatest example of divine sense of humor or wit, or maybe some incredible examples of divine irony. I'd love to hear what he says on that front.
Okay, well, thank you so much for that answer.
Thanks, Liz. Great question. I appreciate that. By the way, whoever comes up with the best question in the minds of our illustrious staff, Elias, Matt Blaze, and Tony will be gifted something from the Other Side of Midnight online store, which they are adding items to all the time, including the have a shirt of me now rocking the new Racket Report T-shirt on there, which is really cool. I wish I could afford all the Racket Report clothing items that are in there. There's sweatshirts, there's mugs, there's T-shirts. I just bought the T-shirt because I'm at the point where if I add any more clothing to our dresser, my wife is going to take my axe that I use to chop wood, and she is just going to take an axe to my dresser. She's had it up to here. 800-848-9222. That's 800-848-9222. Danielle is in Brooklyn. Hello, Danielle.
Hi, Frank. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Good. So my question is actually like a two-part, but it's still the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Are you into, you know a lot about like different conspiracy theories and all that. Are you pro conspiracy theory, or are you like, think they, the people that come up with these theories are crazy?
Well, first of all, I absolutely don't think the people that come up with them are crazy. I don't believe, I don't believe every conspiracy theory, but I'm all for exploring every conspiracy theory. And I actually find, and I think I mentioned this on the radio a week or so ago, I actually find that the people that are conspiracy theorists, even if the conspiracy theory is way off base, they're actually much better versed on a given subject than most people are on that subject, because they've studied it backwards and forwards. So I'm not for embracing every conspiracy theory, but I'm all for exploring every conspiracy theory.
That actually is perfect what you just said, because it actually leads to my second question. Have you ever, do you know of any conspiracy theory that was actually proven to be true that you are familiar with or prefer?
Yeah, well, so it all depends on kind of the nature of what you mean as a conspiracy theory, but there are a couple that immediately come to mind, right? I'm sure there are hundreds, but there are a couple that immediately come to mind. The first is MKUltra, which was a covert CIA program that I've talked about a lot that involved experimenting on human subjects to explore mind control techniques. Initially, this was dismissed as a conspiracy theory, and then later, the program was exposed through declassified documents, through congressional investigations, and they confirmed, even the CIA confirmed, the existence of this program and the unethical experimentation that was conducted under MKUltra. That's the first one that comes to mind. The other one, and this may not strike a lot of people as a conspiracy theory, but it is, the Watergate scandal. The Watergate scandal was initially dismissed as a conspiracy theory. It eventually led to the resignation of President Nixon. The investigation, you know, revealed that Nixon and his administration had engaged in illegal activities. The people that were saying that in 1972, that robbery at the that burglary at the Watergate Hotel was going to be tied to the Nixon administration, they were dismissed as crackpot. The other one was Operation Northwoods, which is a little bit less known these days, but still worth looking at. This was a proposed false flag operation by the Department of Defense during the 60s, which involved planning staged terrorist attacks to justify military intervention in Cuba. And they never carried out the plan, but its existence was revealed again through declassified documents, and it validated the suspicions of a lot of people about government being involved in covert operations. It's a really interesting point in American history, and it was dismissed as a conspiracy theory, and it was totally true.
Wow. Can you just imagine what they could do now, this day and age? Wow.
Well, that's for sure. Great questions, though, Danielle. Thank you. Have a great weekend and a happy Easter. Hey, we'll continue with your questions straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano. It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
And now the end is near, and so I face that final curtain. My friend, I'll make it clear, I'll state my case, of which I am certain. I've lived a life that's full. I traveled each and every highway and more, much more. I did it my way.
Ah, the great Frank Sinatra. Oh, I love this song. A beautiful duet with Luciano Pavarotti. Both of them, unfortunately, gone. And this is from a point in Sinatra's career when his voice had changed significantly, but I think was still worth listening to. And I just love hearing the different style and the different take of Pavarotti from Sinatra. But I also love hearing how different this version of Sinatra singing it is than 40 years before. You know, I was at a dinner last night, and I went to the restroom in the men's room, and this song was playing. And I swear to you, I stayed in the men's room, just standing there at the urinal, until the song finished, because I wanted to hear the rest of it. It is so terrific. All right, we are doing an Ask Frank Anything at 800-848-9222, whatever you have questions about. Now is the time to call in and ask. I am told that even though he has not called in, Tony has a question. Well, I guess rank has its privileges. Tony, you realize you're ineligible to vote for yourself.
Oh, of course, but right. I just want to know this. Since baseball season started and you're a Mets fan, which are you going to go to the retirement ceremony, Doc Gooden and Daryl Strawberry?
Well, no, I am not planning on going. I am going to watch it. I am glad that they're being honored. Both of them are two of my favorite Mets. And I got to meet both of them, which was a real pleasure. And I got to spend some time with Doc Gooden when Margot Katsimatidis was honored over in Coney Island at the Brooklyn Cyclones. And I have to tell you, he's a delight, an absolute delight to talk to. So I have no plans to be there. But if if a family member or a close friend really wanted to go, and I had the opportunity to go, I might end up going. But as of now, I have no plans to be there. Are you a Met fan or a Yankee fan?
I'm a Yankee fan, but I have respect for the Mets because my grandfather took me to my first game, which was a Mets game. They played against the Padres. Vida Blue was the pitcher for the Padres, and Torrey was the manager for the Mets.
Oh,
cool. That was in 78. So.
And the Yankees beat the Astros yesterday, right?
Yes, 5-4.
Good for them. I was happy to see them pull that one out. 800-848-9222, doing an Ask Frank Anything. Let me say hello to Steve in Manhattan. Hi, Steve.
Bon voyage. Let me remind this audience that most shows on WABC have Steve from Manhattan.
What's your question, Steve?
Okay, the question is, do you think Steve from Manhattan should be banned from WABC radio?
No, I don't think Steve from Manhattan is a terrific caller who has been a real asset to the talk radio business over the last 30 years. I first of all, I'm not a big believer in banning anybody unless they're really boring. And Steve, you have your moments where you can be boring, but as a general rule, I would say that you don't fit the description of being very boring. All right. Charlie is in Orange County. Hi, Charlie. Charlie.
Oh, yeah. Charlie?
Go ahead, Charlie.
This is like a young kid's question, but when you type in a question or a comment in Google, how do they come up with the answer all the time?
Well, I don't necessarily understand how that works, but are you talking about with this new generative AI that they use?
Oh, no, just anytime that Google's been around, just type in maps, it gives you a map. Type in, how does my clock work? And it comes up with an answer. Is there somebody sitting in a computer office that answers it, or they just sit around and make up answers?
I honestly don't know how that algorithm works, how they use that algorithm. I think some of it has to do with indexing. I think some of it has to do with machine learning, and I think some of it has to do with AI. But honestly, Charlie, that's an area I'm totally ignorant of. I'm kind of just making it up. I really have no idea. And I will tell folks that Matt said that the last two callers were the two best callers that we had on the board, so lest anyone think that Charlie got bumped to the front of the line for some other reason. That's why. Let me say hello to Alyssa in California, listening on the West Coast. Hello, Alyssa.
Does that mean I'm one of the best callers?
Well, you ranked behind Charlie and Steve, and I'm not sure what that says about you. But what's your question, Alyssa?
Okay. So I have to set this up.
Okay.
You're not married.
Well, I am married.
No. Please, work with me. For the question.
I'm not married.
Hypothetically.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yes. Okay. You're not married. You meet me. And for whatever reason, I mean, I can think of so many, but okay, for whatever reason, you're smitten with me. mm-hmm. and you desperately want me to fall in love with you.
Mm.
So you ask me out on a date, and I accept, and I want to know what you plan for our first date.
So in this scenario, obviously you live in California, but we're in New York. Like, so we're in my territory, my hometown.
Oh my. Huh? It'll be fine. Well, I'm in New York.
Yeah. Okay.
I live next door to you.
Yeah. If I'm going to, well, no, but it's different.
I have to make it easy for you. You're in love with me. Whatever it is.
Alyssa, bear with me, because if it's somebody that's from out of town that I'm wooing, it's going to be different than if they grew up in my neighborhood, because they're not going to find the novelty of all the places that I would do. Here's what I would do.
You have to think about me. You have to think about me. You want me to fall in love with you, not for you to fall in love with you. You want me to fall in love with you.
Yeah, Alyssa, thank you. I'm already falling out of love with you in this hypothetical scenario, Alyssa. All right, here's what I'm doing. What I'm doing is I am taking you on a progressive dinner where we go to three different restaurants for each course, but I carefully curate all three restaurants to make sure that they're restaurants where there are people that are likely to know me, and they'll come over to our table, they'll act like I'm a real big deal, and they'll be sending us drinks and so forth, and that you would find impressive. And then we would go for, I think, a nice stroll along the boardwalk, maybe in Coney Island or over the Brooklyn Bridge, depending on the restaurant choices. So it's a progressive dinner of three different courses at three different restaurants, but restaurants that I've carefully curated to make sure I know the people there, and then a leisurely boardwalk or bridge stroll. That's my move.
Well, is that it?
That's it. Yeah. I mean, we'll see what happens after that, Alyssa.
I mean, you really want me to fall in love with you, right?
So far I'm one for one in terms of convincing women to fall in love with me. So I would say my technique's been working. Alyssa, thank you. If we meet in another lifetime, perhaps I'll come up with a more wooing methodology. Thanks for the thought. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Let me say hello to Al in New York. Hello, Al.
Good morning. How are you, Mr. Morano? Excellent coverage in Baltimore.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
For that date, you might have to bring Curtis along for, on the board work at midnight. I don't know about that.
I'm not worried.
Okay, yeah. Here's my question. If, God forbid, many, many, many years from now, let's suppose that you hear news from your doctor that you may only have a year left to live. How would you spend that year? And as an aside, the funny question is, I just woke up and I'm confused. But many years ago, I was in Texas in the middle of a hotel, lights are out, and I had a doctor's test, and the doctor's secretary calls me and says, listen, the doctor has to tell you something. And she puts me on hold, and you know what the song is? My Way. And then the doctor tells me, hey, you got cancer. So that song for me always.
Well, I'm not going to tell you have cancer, Al. So your question is, how would I spend my last year if I had a terminal illness?
Well, God forbid, how would you spend it, to your way of at least making up for the time you were cheated out of?
Got it. Wonderful question. And I've actually thought about it a great deal. What I would try to do is spend as much quality time as I could, and I know everybody says this, but with family, especially my son and my wife, and with friends. Then for the time that I'm not spending with my son, because obviously it depends on when this happened, but if it happened now, he's still very young and wouldn't be able to grow up with me, I would kind of do like Superman's father did, Jor-El, and record a series of videos which I would have him play at different points of his life. A video for him on his fifth birthday, his sixth birthday, his seventh birthday, that is age appropriate with what he might be dealing with at those times. And then, honestly, I'd like to do as much writing as I can in that year to memorialize as many of my thoughts on different subjects as possible, and as many of my and memorialize as many of my experiences as I've had that, you know, if I were to perish and these thoughts and these experiences aren't recorded somewhere, they die with me, which I think would be a real shame. So it was time with friends. It's recording video advice for my son, and it's doing a great deal of journaling, or maybe even writing a manuscript. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Mordecai is in New Jersey. Hey, Mordecai.
Frank, I just had a mini heart attack because I'm just pulled over. I'm like, oh, did I lose my wallet? I'm like, did I leave it at home?
So Mordecai, let me give you a minute. I'm going to give you a minute.
No, I got my question.
Okay,
I got my
question. Okay, okay.
I'm 80% sure I left it at home, so I'm rolling with that. Anyway.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, right? Here's the question. So, you've obviously heard the people, the so-and-so's rule the world, this person or these people or whoever, the rich people.
The Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg Group, whomever, right.
Right. Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk,
sure.
Zuck, whoever. So, agreed. That's a given that they have power, they have money, whatever. Which do you think is more likely? Is that there is a puppet master pulling the strings or a group of people pulling the strings, or that nobody's pulling the strings and that these people who do have the influence, the best thing that they could get in a time where what hits the fan is a heads up, like just in advance?
I honestly, and I'm not trying to evade the question, Mordecai, because I spent a lot of time thinking about this, but I honestly think that the answer is somewhere in between. I think, I think a lot about a conversation that Larry Summers, who is definitely one of the elites that run at least this country's global economy, gave to Elizabeth Warren. And I don't care what people think about Larry Summers. I don't care what people think about Elizabeth Warren. But I care about this conversation, which rings true. Larry Summers basically said to Elizabeth Warren, and he wasn't trying to be mean. He was trying to give her friendly advice. And he said that she had a choice. She could be an insider or an outsider. Outsiders can say whatever they want, but people on the inside don't listen to them. Insiders get lots of access and chances to push their ideas. People, powerful people, listen to what they have to say. But insiders also understand one unbreakable rule. They don't criticize other insiders. So I think there is a cadre of insiders in every different field, politics, Wall Street, the defense industry, the media,
Frank,
academics.
That's not what I'm getting at.
Right.
I'm talking about, that's a given. What I'm saying is all these insiders, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say if they all have a networking group on Facebook that they work together. Great. Do you really think that, my question is, do you think that these people have the power to actually run the entire planet and go and dictate how everything goes? Or is there really no strings attached to anybody? And the best that these insiders can get is, heads up, that's it. So they can get out of dodge.
I guess, Mordecai, my problem with the premise of your question is that you framed it as an all-or-one proposition, right? Now, I can see the insiders having control over the global economy, but if there's something like a giant comet hurtling towards the Earth, I think everybody, the billionaires and the insiders are going to be just as dead as the rest of us.
I guess I really didn't mean it towards like natural disasters, more or less. I meant towards like pulling, like, you know, could they really prevent, say, you know, this is just a random, you know, a surface level one. Could they really prevent, all these people that are on the top? Could they really, really prevent, because as much as we know George Soros does George Soros things, I'm sure George Soros wouldn't want to be wiped out by an Iranian nuclear bomb. Same deal with, you know what I'm saying? Like same thing with the Chinese one or a North Korean one. So is it that powerful to prevent that, or is it just, like you said, economic-wise?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, do they have the ability to stop a global war from taking place or something along those lines?
Do we live in a state of nature at the end of the day after all that's after all
yeah,
those
yeah, I
masks
don't,
are taken off.
And I don't think they have the ability to pull the strings to that extent, honestly, Mordecai. Maybe that's my own naivete. Maybe they do, but no, I don't. All right, we'll continue with your questions in a moment. 800-848-9222, straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight. Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
Taking your questions on any subject, that's the great Petula Clark. If you ever want to know what kind of music we're playing on this show, you can join our Facebook group. Just go on to Facebook and search Morano Radio Fans and Haters. That's M-O-R-A-N-O Radio Fans and Haters. It's also meant to be a discussion group about the subjects that we focus on the show and discuss on the show. I'll emphasize the subjects that we do on this show, not just whatever it is you want to talk about, stuff that's come up on this show. All right, answering your questions on any subject, let me say hello to Igor in New Jersey. Hi, Igor.
Greetings, Frank.
Hi.
Doing what you do for a living, Frank, I'm sure that there are a lot of opportunities to receive criticism. I'm sure you hear all about it through email and other channels. So, well, most of the time it probably doesn't make much sense. It isn't on point. Can you remember a time most recently where maybe you did receive some criticism? It when you thought about it, it did make sense, and maybe you modified what you think about or what you say or how you conduct the show?
You know, honestly, quite a bit. I'm always looking to get better. And I think maybe, you know, every day there's a piece of criticism, you know, and you could tell whether people mean it constructively or not, that I take to heart. I'm just trying to think of the most recent. I would say probably it was yesterday. My wife, whose opinion I take very seriously because she is exactly the kind of market that that I'm going for. And what I say by that, I don't mean because she's my wife. I mean because she is a younger person that would not typically listen to talk radio, but she listens to me. And one of the things that I'm trying to do with this podcast is certainly make it a show, or with this podcast and this radio show, is make it a show that while people who enjoy talk radio will listen to it and enjoy it, I'd also like to reach out to people that don't typically listen to talk radio. And she fits that bill. What she said to me yesterday, and she's made a similar suggestion before, is that there's two suggestions that she's made that I think really resonate with me. One is sometimes I'll bring up a subject on the radio, or I'll talk about a subject on the radio, and I will make the assumption erroneously that everybody knows about it. And then I'll go on for 5 or 6 minutes giving my opinion about something when I haven't done a proper job explaining the background of what it is that I'm talking about, because I've wrongly assumed that people know what I'm talking about. And the thing she said yesterday is that I didn't realize that I did this until yesterday, is that I'll often take how I'm feeling about a certain subject and allow that to dictate my analysis. For instance, she brought up, I was talking about Karine Jean-Pierre and not liking the question about President Biden's dementia. She said to me, you were saying that you wouldn't care if people asked you, you wouldn't be offended if people asked you if you were suffering from dementia. And she said, it doesn't matter. You're a private citizen. He's the president. People are supposed to ask him if he's suffering from a dementia, that you're the most visible public figure there is. So you can't say because you're not offended that that's not the standard. She says you're so different from almost everybody else out there that that's not a good barometer. So I would say those two pieces of advice from her. One, not explaining adequately things before I talk about them. And two, allowing how I would feel in a certain situation to dictate my analysis of a certain situation. That's the other. Great question, though, Igor. Thank you. 800-848-9222. Terry is in Rockland. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Frank.
Hi.
Hi. You said if you could interview God, you would ask him if he has matured and learned any lessons, right?
Yes.
Okay. Here's my question. Do you really believe that God is immature and needs to learn lessons?
Well, I don't know that he's immature now, but I think the fact that, and again, I preface this by saying I don't know how much of what's in the Old Testament is literally true, but let's assume a lot of it is. There is a tremendous change in behavior from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So clearly that to me suggests that he made a decision to start changing his behavior and do things a bit differently. So why? What lessons did he learn that caused him to go from, basically commanding or endorsing acts of violence to being, you know, much more of the nonviolent type? What caused him to go from somebody that would, be all about judgment and, take and being very stern with anybody that disobeys him or rebels against him, versus the New Testament God, who was all about grace? So clearly there was something that caused him to change, if what the Old Testament is true. If the Old Testament is not true, I'd ask him where he thought those stories came from and how they got started. So that's kind of the gist of where I'm coming from. Thank you. 800-848-9222. Joe is in Lynbrook. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Frank, I have to ask you guys a question. I grew up on Staten Island.
Sure.
Okay? What are all you people thinking about the congestion pricing and the new price of the Verrazano Bridge?
Yeah, you know.
I grew up.
Right. Okay. Joe, do you have a question or you want me to answer or do you want to answer it? Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I thought you were finished. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, I hadn't even started, but go ahead. Go ahead. I don't want to interrupt you.
I want to know, you commute to work, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So what do you feel, part one, is the congestion pricing?
Right. Cost? I mean, I think I talk about this almost daily in my local commentaries on WABC in New York. I think it's awful. I think it has nothing to do with traffic congestion. It's just another tax on working class and middle class New Yorkers. I think it's a tax on people that live in areas that don't have sufficient mass transit. I think it's terrible. And, as far as the tolls are always onerous. I mean, what can you say? What can you say there? I don't have much else to add there. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Dave is in Las Vegas listening on KDON. Hello, Dave.
Hello. With the legendary sitcoms Barney Miller and Taxi, who was your favorite character on each show?
So I didn't watch that much Barney Miller, honestly. I've seen it. I'm such an Abe Vigoda fan that I'd have to say it's Fish, right? On Taxi, it's gotta be, when I was watching the show, you know, at different points in my life, it's been different characters. You know, when I was watching the show, I was a child, basically. So I loved Reverend Jim. I thought Christopher Lloyd was brilliant as Reverend Jim. As I got a little older and I learned to appreciate different types of comedic timing and different sensibilities and certain nuances in acting, I more appreciated Lotka, the Andy Kaufman character. And as an adult, because I've gotten to know Tony Danza a little bit, when I watch episodes of that show now, I'm quite partial to Tony. So I've gone from, Reverend Jim to Lotka to Tony. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Geraldine is in the Queens. Hi, Geraldine.
Hi. This goes back to the trip to Antarctica. I'm a very wealthy woman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you the $35,000 for the trip, but you must use it for the trip. We also have to take into consideration, if you do take that $35,000 and you go on that trip, how will Rachel feel? And how will you feel as a father using that money for yourself?
Well, I would take my wife with me.
Oh, no. $35,000 only for you.
No, but Geraldine, it's a $35,000 for a cabin on that vessel. So it's a cabin that presumably both of us would sleep in.
Well, usually when they quote a cabin...
I've looked into it, Geraldine. It's $35,000 per room, so it would be for the two of us.
Oh, well, I don't want Rachel to go with you.
Well, no, I'm not going to go to another continent for 10 days without her. Of course not.
And what about Carmine? What are you going to do with Carmine?
Who?
And that's a lot of money, $35,000.
Yeah, I know. That's
a big decision.
It certainly
is. But you can only use it for the trip. And yes, I'll allow you. I'll make that a change that the cabin will include Rachel.
Thank you. Well, then I'm 100% going. If you or anyone else wants to pay, and I'm being totally sincere here, we are absolutely 100% going. And I think it would be the trip of a lifetime, and I think it would be great. And thank you for that, Geraldine.
Well,
I appreciate
it. I hate to disappoint you, but I'm not a wealthy woman. I don't have $35,000 to give you.
You really know how to play with a guy's emotions. 800-848-9222. Richard is in Minnesota, listening on WCCO in Minneapolis. Hi, Richard.
Hello, how are you?
I am just wonderful. I'm as smooth as jazz and awake as a caffeinated owl.
Speechless. Mm. My question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Conscience and morals, are they more learned behaviors or are they in our DNA? For instance, two siblings growing up in the same home, same values, same home, same upbringing, one can go rob that bank and one can't.
Sure.
They put a mask on their face. They know it's wrong, but they can still do it.
You know, I've explored this a great deal, both in terms of my own research and with a lot of guests. And the truth is there are varying views among researchers. Some people believe that there's a genetic predisposition when it comes to morality. I don't. I think it's primarily, I think there can be some interaction between genetics and environment, but I think it's primarily morals and conscience and consciousness are primarily a reflection of social learning and cultural influence. So I think you can be the son of a drug dealer and a murderer, and if you get the right set of circumstances, you're going to be an upstanding citizen. I don't know that to be the case, right? I mean, that's the premise to some extent of the movie Trading Places, but I believe it is primarily social learning and cultural influence, not genetic predisposition. I think addiction is a different thing. I think when it comes to addiction, alcoholism, drugs, things like that, I think both can be true. I think you can have a genetic predisposition, but I also think environment plays a role. 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. Chris is on Long Island. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Frank. It's a rare time. I'm off for Good Friday, so it's a rare time I actually get to see
you. Wonderful. Great. Hope you enjoy the holiday.
Thank you. And I was listening to your podcast, so you know. And I'm a contributor to your Facebook page, and that's what I want to talk about, the fan page. And I want you to be 100% honest. Mm-hmm. How much of it do you read of it? There's a lot of the same contributors all the time. I'm one of them. And we go back and forth, but I know that you've said that you would like us to talk about things that you've talked about in the show. I just want to tell you that a lot of times I don't listen to your show till I listen to the podcast maybe a day or two later because I'm sleeping at night and working. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times we get into political arguments a lot, and a lot of us end up banning each other. And I just want to know your general feeling of that Facebook page.
Yeah, Chris, I think it's a wonderful group. I think it's a wonderful group, and I think the people that contribute the most, including you, are wonderful. I think, you know, there are a few people that are curmudgeonly or off topic, but by and large, I think it's a great group. Best question.
Sean from St. Louis. Should he stay with his girlfriend that's in the Air Force?
Sean, call back. We're going to give you a prize for the rest of you. Keep asking questions.